following program may contain coarse language, suggestive dialogue, and discussion of violent imagery and sexual situations. It is intended for mature listeners who can tell the difference between facts and opinions.
Toonami scratches one off the bucket list on this episode of the Toonami Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Sketch, and with me I have...
Pablo Skrilla, the founder of ToonamiFaithful.com.
And...
Editorial writer, Laser Kid.
And returning to the podcast...
Your wonderful data monkey, Colper. Hi, folks, I'm back. After almost a... not quite a year.
It's been about 8 months... pretty sure the last time you were on was when we were talking about Food Wars, the Fifth Plate, back in July of 2023.
I got out of the basement.
Yay!
Yeah, I was going to say, Darrell let you out for a while.
Well, yeah, because Darrell had other plans tonight, so I needed a pinch hitter.
I'm that guy.
There were three, maybe four other podcast plans for recording this evening that just did not happen, but we pulled it together because we got stuff we gotta talk about, and I don't want to be late on some of this, but we will get to the news, of which there are very interesting things, after we talk about the latest fifth episode of Ninja Kamui. At the end of the previous episode, Higan had infiltrated Alza City and was just about to get beyond the security barrier, which was shut off for 5 seconds. But he was stopped by Zai. And as we resume, we are right back to this moment. And as I suspected, they have a brief back and forth, and then Zai pieces out, and Higan's left to just wait for something to happen, which, lucky for him, something does happen. The evil ninja council's like, let's let him into the city. What could possibly go wrong?
You gotta love it when competence is running. Hey, we'll just let him in. We'll just kill him. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, beat this could along. Look very bad for Alza, but Jeff Zuckermusk speaks up. Is like, no, I like it. Let him cook. I'll take full responsibility. We'll have a parade. People won't even know. So that's the plan. Then Higan gets a call from his mysterious benefactor who's been trying to help him get into the city, which I'm just darn sure is Zai at this point. Like, who else could it possibly be? It's all too convenient. But maybe they'll surprise me. His contact says they're letting you into the city. I'm like, and this is why I'm like, I'm sure it's Zai, because why else would he know? Where would he get that information? Are they broadcasting somewhere? We're gonna let the ninja in. Kill him, please, or at least try. It's a bad day to be on Oz's payroll, though.
I think it's always a bad day to be on Oz's payroll.
Yeah, maybe. Like, we got some underground ninja fights. What is this, TMNT? I can't say it's exactly the sewer, but it's definitely somewhere underground. And eventually, after taking out some ninja mooks, he like just kills some security guards. And I'm like, man, those poor security guards, they had no idea what was coming.
No,
makes
they
you wonder
sure
what their medical insurance is like.
Oh, medical insurance? You're optimistic.
Well, it's basically Amazon, so...
That's the point.
The ninjas have no insurance plan. You die for the mission. Wouldn't be too surprised if... not Amazon picked up the same policy. It's like, no, that's a good policy. Let's go with that. I can totally see that. But In the B plot of this episode, we have Mike tracking down Jason Cardenas. And as an insert for Jason DeMarco, this guy's not exactly flattering.
It is funny.
It is very funny.
As Mike finds him in this old arcade, face down in a pile of bottles, and gets him to show him his fancy-dancy server room that's hidden in the arcade at his hideout. And he's like, they're gonna pay for what they did to me. They were all jealous of what I had. They're going down. And Mike's like, yeah, okay, yeah. I want you to take them down. Let's just hack these guys, all right?
Are you sure? I don't know. They'll catch me.
I'll protect you.
Oh, yeah, sure, that's okay. That's that, sure, just Mike. Like you protected, sure, you protected that diner real good there, guy.
No. Yeah. Don't ever offer to pay for the damages. There goes his retirement. They do find out not very interesting information for a bit until they come across a list of fake IDs, or that's what they think they are, and among them is Emma's name. Curious. And may I remind our listeners that I thought maybe Asuka actually is Emma. And I mean, yeah, they're both voiced by Lucy Christian, obviously, so...
Maybe.
That would potentially explain why her name is on there. She's like a sleeper agent. And that's, like, not her real identity is Emma's not her real identity. But, there's other things in this episode that might lead to that conclusion, so let us continue. They go too far and get the hitmen to show up on them, probably some kind of mercenaries. And Mike thinks maybe his higher-ups at the FBI... you know, tip them off or what have you.
They would never do that.
It's either them or maybe it's Emma.
Ooh.
Could be. I don't think it's Emma.
I don't think so either.
Reasons already explained.
Yeah. But could be.
Definitely seems like she knows more than she lets on. And so we have a car chase. I was like, okay, I just can't think of this as anything other than Run the Jewels right now. Killer Mike and Jason Cardenas. A fine stand-in for LP, I suppose. But back at Owlsa City, Hegon is getting closer and closer to the facility that they are trying to lead him to, which is a testing room where they have really nifty ninja robot suits.
Ninja robots.
There you go. You got it.
How would I not?
Four of them show up. It looked to be Asuka, Big D, Lil, and... the secretary whose name escapes me. Dilly. I think her name was Dilly. Really? Dilly? I mean, some of these names are...
These names are a thing that exists.
Yeah. Big D. Lil. And I can't help but notice that Lil has a very tall ninja robot. Compensating for something?
Perhaps.
And though Hegon has mowed through all of the mooks up to this point, this fight proves to be quite a challenge for him. He gets some licks in, but it might be because he's also really hyper-focused on trying to get to Yamaji, who is getting away in a helicopter. Or maybe he's actually just watching from afar in a helicopter. He breaks a window, tries to... strap take a line up there. They shoot the line. He falls. He takes a bad fall, which doesn't help things. Broke his mask, even. I thought that thing was going to be more durable.
It'll get replaced.
And then he goes back into psycho mode.
Yeah, then he pulls out the needle and he's like, all right, I'll be with you soon. He's suicidal here. He just wants to take out as many people as possible before he dies. And that doesn't go so well. Even though he does get some attacks in, he's just overpowered. And eventually, some blades show up out of nowhere and hit him. They probably came from... Oh, no. Those came from Asuka. And that puts him in a pretty bad shape. And then Lil grabs him because, quote-unquote, he's his bitch. And then quickly gets bored when Higan can't really fight back. And he's like, oh, we done already? And then Zai shows up, waltzes on over. Everybody stops moving for a bit, lets Zai come in, say his piece. He's like, all right, Higan, now you're gonna die. Higan struggles to do anything against Zai. Like, it is sad. He is really out of it now.
Yeah.
And just before Zai lands the killing strike, Asuka saves Higan, disables the other ninja robots temporarily, and gets the hell out of Dodge. Very interesting.
The plot thickens!
Yet more reason to believe that Emma is Asuka. Or Asuka is Emma, as it were. So, Paul, last week you were like, not enough action. I think they filled the quota this time.
Oh, yes. Very much so. I was very pleased. Though I was kind of sitting here going like, all right, is he just like running a gauntlet for this whole episode? Like, holy shit.
Yes. Pretty much.
Yes.
He was trying to get to the boss room.
They're just like, yeah, you can come in. You're good.
Yeah. They're confident. And apparently that confidence was not misplaced.
By the way, was anybody like getting Tekken vibes on that scene where they're all in robotic suits?
I was more of a Tekken guy, I might, but not really a Tekken guy.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Colt?
Maybe Jack?
No, well, no, like, oh God, what is his name? He's got the sword. He's got like the green sword and he looks weird when he sits down.
Oh, Yoshimitsu.
Yeah.
Yoshimitsu. Okay, well, I know him from Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
I could see, some of those mechs did kind of look like Yoshimitsu.
Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, wait, it gave me Tiger and Bunny vibes, too.
Oh, that, too. Yeah.
That I could totally see.
I just don't understand.
Everybody with their very personally designed suits.
I don't understand why they were all in suits. Because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, okay, the one dude I could understand because he has all those. He sent out, you know, what was that? That robot that he sent out to try to kill them initially. So, okay. I could understand you, but the rest of them, I'm like, okay.
Tech and efficiency. That and Alza has the tech, so they may as well just put it to use.
Wanted to test the tech.
Yeah.
That was kind of the whole point. They wanted to test the tech. But also, the way Lil kind of dismissed Higan's ancient ninja techniques gives you the impression that everybody in the organization is like, the old ways are done. We're doing things this way now, enhanced with technology. Nothing ever bad happens when you do that.
Just ask Mortal Kombat.
No, just ask Ghost in the Shell. No,
this has got Mortal Kombat ninjas all written all over it.
Right.
So yeah, there's that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Dude needs to like stop obsessing with the main boss because that's getting a little weird.
It's clearly hindering his mission because he's too hyper focused.
Oh my god. Dude just needs to chill because it's like, okay, we get it. You want to kill the motherfucker. I understand. Can we move on, please?
Nope.
I don't think that's going to be a thing. I think it's going to be mostly revenge bender until maybe the last three episodes.
Yeah.
There's no way this dude's not dying. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's no way that this dude's not dying. And if he does survive, I will be very surprised.
Yeah, Hegon's going to need some recovery time, and that seems to be what's going to happen in the next episode. They got to hide in the city, and we'll surely find out more about Asuka and why she saved Hegon.
Mm.
I saw somebody else with the theory that Asuka's actually Mari. I mean, I could see that, too. I don't really want that to be the case, but...
kind of a buzzkill after
yeah.
that whole first episode.
Hey, you know, he keeps having his moment where he thinks back to when Mari's neck gets stabbed, but this time you actually see Mari's real face. not the hologram. Progress? Question mark?
I mean, I don't think...
At least he didn't throw up. that was it's the weird other thing because that always happened.
It's weird because, like, Emma... like blew him in before, but mm-hmm. now it's kind of like, are you still blowing him in, or are you like, so are you this other person that just saved what's his name there? And you know, like,
well, of course they had to play along at first, but I'm assuming when Asuka realized that Hegon was going to die for sure.
Yeah.
Had to do something. Which is not going to end well for her, I would imagine.
No, not at all.
I mean, not if the promo had anything to say about it.
Yeah.
This is a broadcast call going on Ninja Airwaves. This bitch just betrayed us. Kill her.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, she's not going to be surviving for the rest of the rest of the time.
You never know.
Yeah.
She might survive longer than you think.
Yeah, you never know. Also, I hope the doctor shows up at Isles of City. He's just there.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's just there. I mean, he probably needs to show up because, dang, Egon's in bad shape.
Hmm.
Arguably not as bad as, you know, the first episode, but still pretty bad.
Oh, he's getting there.
He got banged up real good.
Hmm.
So, Colt, what do you think of the show so far?
I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's straight into the point, and the first episode reminded me of how I felt after One Punch Man, where it's like, yeah, you know what you're doing, so you've already caught my attention, and I feel like maybe it'd be nice to have a little bit more story, but honestly, I'm kind of not sure how I would say it. It's like it'd be nice to get a bit more information on certain things, but I also feel like I shouldn't expect it just because of the way the show seems to be acting. I mean, it's great overall for an original, but this seems to be edging more toward just combat porn than anything
else.
Yeah,
this is all about the catharsis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're well past the point where this could possibly turn to Hegon being like, revenge is bad. I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to go in that direction.
I'm not expecting that much. I just expect, like, maybe just, like, a bit more... maybe just more info in general, but I probably won't get that till later anyways.
Yeah, I expect they'll explain, you know, the reasons why the Ninja Clan teamed up with Aoza and all of that.
Yeah.
But maybe not to the extent that one might prefer.
Mm.
I don't know. There's still six episodes left. No, seven right. episodes left. So, there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's definitely one of the ones where, like, the first impressions were done really, really well, and it just kept performing spectacularly. I mean, honestly, this is probably the only one that I ever actually saw as a trailer and was like, you know what? I actually believe this will work. Just off the trailers alone.
Yeah.
Touching base with Laser. How you feeling after episode 5?
I'm enjoying it. It's fun. I personally would have rather it gone introspective, but I'm along for the ride. It's fun. Good action. Characters are interesting. The intrigue and mystery of just what the heck is going on with Ninja Clan is interesting. I could see this being a very fun ending. I really hope they nail the ending, because that's really been the problem with all the originals. But when it comes to where we're at, yeah, no, this has been good shit.
Agreed. Any final thoughts, Paul?
We need more sex scenes. I don't know. I just wanted to randomly say something.
I mean, I don't think we're going to get that in this show unless we get another flashback.
I mean, best cases, we'll just get more dick jokes.
Dick and fart jokes?
Yeah, just dick jokes.
Mainly dick jokes.
Well, we got
from that one guy.
Yeah.
He was moderately tolerable in this episode.
For him, yeah.
Yeah. He kind of reeled it in on the innuendo. Just a little. Just a little. Yeah. Solid showing so far. Things are ramping up. Going to be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Mm.
And that means it's time to talk about the news. And as was hinted in my opening line, Toonami has a wonderful show coming. Yes, we got some good news, bad news here. I'm going to say there's two bits of bad news. First bad news, Demon Slayer is not continuing to the Swordsmith arc, which is a bummer. But there is high hopes that it will return. The other bit of bad news is IGPX Season 2 is not happening yet. I just thought I'd put that out there.
Man.
And here's the good news. Demon Slayer's Entertainment District arc will be followed up by ZOM 100 Bucket List of the Dead.
Song of the Dead.
Which has a super banger opening.
It really does.
Solid ending, too.
It does. I agree. It's really good that it's actually all done now.
yeah. I guess I'll jump right into that. I kind of feel like they might have gotten this sooner, but the production delays kept them from being able to do that.
Yeah, that seems fairly likely. Those last three episodes. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't get the sub until Christmas, and we didn't get the dub until like a month after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just recently finished it myself right before the announcement, actually, because I finally got around to watching those.
I still haven't watched those episodes yet.
They're good. You'll like them, I think.
I don't doubt it.
You think?
I have thoroughly enjoyed what I've seen of that show.
Oh, it's an absolute blast. I actually got a buddy of mine hooked on it who's not normally into anime, but he was a huge fan of Walking Dead. And what really impresses me about ZOM 100 is it knows its zombie lore very, very well. And yet it's also wacky in its own way. It balances your zombie, oh shit, everything's going to hell with, well, screw that shit, I'm going to live my life.
Yeah. The elevator pitch of Zom 100 is a zombie apocalypse is occurring, and for a salaryman wage slave that has been grinded to the dust for the past, what, 3 years, the realization that he doesn't have to go to work makes the zombie apocalypse seem like no big deal.
It's a minor vacation, inconvenience. Really. I adore this character so much. He is such a mood. Zombie apocalypse? Nah! I don't have to go to work. This is great!
Oh, man, I'm out of beer?
I'm time that to go sing about getting beer while dealing with zombies. Beer!
So while this is very over the top, very silly, and a wonderful successor to things like High School of the Dead, it is also really deep in the character stuff.
It's really deep in the character stuff, and it's not afraid for zombie shit to go zombie shit when it needs to.
No. Don't get attached to one-off characters.
Do not get attached. And even our main characters are going to have moments.
Yeah, it's there's plenty of frights, but it's really more just tense. It's not scary.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's scary, but a good zombie show is less scary and more tense anyway, because the whole thing with, I'm going to go back to Walking Dead, because that's like my main zombie connection, because I have no interest in zombies, but again, my buddy got me into it because of that. It's human drama. That's all it really is.
Mm-hmm. And if you are an adult, which I presume you are if you're listening to this podcast, we got that disclaimer for a reason. I mean, teenagers.
We probably have a non-zero amount of non-adult listeners, but it would probably not very many.
But for adults and even, you know, students in high school, you know, anybody who has a daily grind and are feeling like it's really grinding you down, this show will speak to your soul. It is a beautiful thing, and also extremely entertaining. It is a riot.
Oh yes, absolutely. I don't even know where to begin. There's so many funny things. I'm trying to think of an example. I'm just like, where to start?
Don't even.
I'm not going
to. It'll also give you an appreciation for the little things in life.
It really does, actually, in its own little fun, silly way.
Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, because of the human drama, there is some maybe difficult to watch episodes from the perspective of, oh man, I can relate to this, and this is painful. But watch it. Believe me, it is worth it. You'll get your catharsis.
I was just more surprised when it got announced by the official Twitter. I'm just like, wait, really? Huh? Okay. Wasn't expecting that. But it's also nice because it's a month out, too. It was like, oh, cool.
Which Twitter was it announced on first?
I saw it through, like, the Zom 100 Twitter account.
Yeah. So, thank you, Viz. Anaplex and Viz doing the heavy lifting around here.
And it was just like, wait, that's being announced now? Huh, neat. So that's two shows we've gotten within like the last couple of months that have been announced from the official, from like the actual distributor, and it wasn't just like a week beforehand on the Facebook. So it's like, oh, that's nice.
It is.
We actually know what's coming up.
Yeah. It is always nice to get the ahead notice on these things, so, you know, we can hype it up!
That, and I when I saw it, I was like, that was, like, recent, wasn't it? And I look, it was, like, less than a year. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. It was.
And Rico was, like, a little under 2 years. I'm like, huh, that's nice.
Yeah, the thing about this show is literally everybody got it, so I always had this thinking that, okay, it's a Viz show, and it's not exclusive to any platform. So I feel like once a certain window has passed, Toonami will be able to show it. And I think that happened, and it honestly happened a bit sooner than I was expecting. But I'm okay with that.
I mean, honestly, the closer we get, the happier I am.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be old news for all that many people.
Yeah.
Which, hopefully, you know, if people haven't come across this show, they'll hopefully enjoy it on Toonami. It's a darn good time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Very, very solid. Largely considered one of the best anime of last year, and that is in, you know, really good competition with things like Frieren and Pluto and Oshinoko. Like, there is some
really good
anime shows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not obviously not all of them. There's like half a dozen isekai every season now. But
including so one about a vending machine, which is actually somehow good.
Yeah, I like that one. I was eagerly anticipating that one. It's like, I heard about it.
Morbidly curious. Not expecting
a light novel. I was like, oh, that's neat. I hope that becomes an anime someday. And then it became one. I was like, this does not disappoint.
No, it was
beautiful. It's a very creative use of vending machines, which we'll probably never see because Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Boom. Yay. Because Crunchyroll. Because yeah.
Crunchyroll.
Thanks, Crunchyroll.
Thanks for nothing. But yay. Thank you, Viz. I mean, certainly there are some folks that are not pleased that it's not Bleach, but thank you anyway. I personally prefer this. So, I'm good.
I'm very much on the why not edition. Fence for that one, but yeah.
Give it time. Unless it really is like super duper locked down because of Disney, which could be. Seems that way.
I watched the first core of it. It was good.
I genuinely think they're just kind of waiting until more episodes are out because they don't want to like
take it away, put it back, yeah. Take it away, put it back.
Yeah, that'd be kind of annoying. Like, what's going on with Demon Slayer?
Mm.
And IGPX for that matter. But yeah, Demon Slayer. Gone for now, but it should return.
Give it some point. Give it 2 to 3 years and an entire year's budget, depending.
Speaking of the budget, they have gotten quite a few things this year.
Yes, I'm actually really happy about that.
So, my concerns that reacquiring DBZ Kai was maybe a not good use of money. I still don't think it was a great use of money, but doesn't seem to be messing everything else up, so okay.
It turned out to be fairly topical.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But before we get to that, it should also be mentioned, just a minor thing, that Demon Slayer's last episode this season will run 45 minutes, and that means everything after Demon Slayer will be bumped back by 15 minutes. But they'll all air.
And your sleep schedule will be forever ruined.
Or you can just rely on a DVR, or streaming services, or whatever works.
Yeah.
Or you can not sleep. I mean, who needs sleep anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Like
I know, when we lost an hour.
Jeez. That wasn't fun. What did Adult Swim not air that night? Probably an hour of Futurama. No, actually, it would have been just one episode of Futurama, I think. Or maybe, no, it would have been an hour of Futurama. What's after Ninja Kamui subbed? Isn't it Primal?
No, it's fuck, my brain's blanking. I need to go look at my stuff now. Because I tune out right after quiet phone, shut up. I thought I had you on quiet. okay, now that out of the way. I don't have anything written after Ninja Kamui Sub, because Ninja Kamui Sub, I believe, was the last thing of the night.
Oh, that's the last thing on Toonami.
But... I mean, after that, that I wouldn't know. I mean, post block, I think it's like either Bob Burgers or like American Dad.
Well, Bob's King of the Hill and Bob's Burgers do air, but right, they format it this way. Okay, I guess. I have to look at the week before, actually. Sorry to bore you, listeners, with this nonsense, but I gotta figure this out. Yeah, Primal normally is after Ninja Kamui, but apparently the other night it was Futurama because of the missing hour. And yeah, they cut one Futurama and Primal. Because they just couldn't cut King of the Hill.
Boy, I tell you what, you will not cut us.
I guess Bob's Burgers does not repeat later on Saturday / Sunday morning. Also randomly, on Mario Day, Adult Swim played the Super Mario Brothers movie for Acme Night. The 93 one.
I had a feeling that's what you meant. Oh, boy. I might be the only one in here who saw that in theaters as a kid.
No, I did.
Oh, well, welcome to the club, then.
Very smartly, the filler afterwards was an episode of Robot Chicken, which included a Mario sketch in it. Very clever. Also clever, at least in my opinion, they're playing 2007 CGI TMNT this Sunday, March 17th, which, as you know, is St. Patrick's Day. So
that's pretty.
It's also something else, but all right, playing in something with the Ninja Turtles. They're not putting a Robot Chicken after that, because there's so many episodes of Robot Chicken with a good Ninja Turtles bit in it, but oh well. Instead, it's Shop, a Pop Opera. They play that a lot. It's specifically after the movie. But I digress. I told you the tangents were going to happen in the news section.
Yeah.
That one's entirely my fault.
It's almost like we like to talk about stuff.
It's true. So, yeah, that extra long Demon Slayer episode airs on the 23rd. The 23rd. So that is, that's what's going to happen there, and everything will get bumped down. And what do you expect they're going to put after the Ninja Kamui subbed episode that night to fill 15 minutes? Yeah, you guessed it. The Great Yokai Battle of Akihabara. Which, if you don't remember, is one of the Rick and Morty shorts. It's what they always do when they have an extra 15 minutes.
Gotta get them ratings.
Pretty much. Right. So that brings us to what's happening this Saturday, as of when we are recording this. Long of the short is, there is a Dragon Ball Z Kai marathon from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., which is the first 8 episodes. Not the most inspired thing, but oddly, but I suppose efficiently, they have the Ninja Kamui subbed episode at 1:30, they're booting off One Piece and Naruto that particular week. Naruto gets to last another week.
Yay.
And the night, of course, starts with Ninja Kamui and Demon Slayer, because it's just a regular size episode, and Licorice Recoil. So Ninja Kamui, Demon Slayer, and Licorice Recoil will all air, along with the subbed episode of Ninja Kamui, at a much earlier time of 1:30, and I honestly wonder how that's going to do. So that they can run DBZ Kai from 2 to 6 a.m. And you probably already know the reason why they're doing that, but if you don't...
You are slow and are not on the internet a lot.
You live under a rock.
We have some sombering news. And that is the legendary manga author Akira Toriyama passed away recently. That is something that we will discuss much further on another podcast. We don't want to do...
This would be a long podcast if we do that.
Yeah.
It is late night right now for a lot of us, so no, we'll be doing that later, folks.
Especially if you have me on, because I will rant endlessly about it, probably.
Yeah, we want to not rush that. We don't want to... it's going to happen when it happens, but it will happen.
I think it's fair to say pretty much everybody has some strong experiences with Akira Toriyama. I don't think any of us would be here without him.
Absolutely. Toonami wouldn't be here without him.
Wouldn't be without him either. It'd be that one block that had Thundercats, Voltron, and Robotech.
I could go on a tangent, but I'd save that for when we get to that conversation.
Well, give Sailor Moon its credit.
Yeah, Sailor Moon would have been there, but I don't think it would have blown things up on its own.
No, probably not. And if DBZ wasn't there, Toonami probably would not have lasted very long at all.
No.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's what I would say. We wouldn't be here.
Maybe. Oh, OG version. You never know. They could have still brought it back. It's just lower odds. Oh,
well, that's the thing. Would Adult Swim Action have existed without Dragon Ball Z? The world may never know.
I am legitimately not sure that the anime market would be what it is if not for Dragon Ball Z in the United States.
Yeah. We can discuss that later.
Yeah, no, I'm not going into detail on that. Just because, oh gosh, I could talk for days. But no, legitimately, if Dragon Ball Z wasn't there, Toonami wouldn't be big. And if Toonami didn't get big, Adult Swim Action wouldn't have happened. And if any of that hadn't happened, I don't think we'd have Crunchyroll streaming anime 24/7, 365.
It'd probably still be a piracy site.
Probably.
Oh man, can you imagine Funimation without Dragon Ball Z?
Cyborgs!
Yep. I remember those ads. And nothing else.
I remember it being on their bad 90s website.
Oh, the Funimation 90s website. That was a thing.
That is literally tangents the only reason on tangents. They exist. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Also, there are a lot of reasons why it's upsetting to me, but to find out that this happened just days before the anniversary of Chrono Trigger just...
Personal, it happened right when my dad was coming to visit. So it's like, I have something really good happen, so we have to have something really bad happen.
Yeah. But we will properly, to our best of our ability, honor the passing of Akira Toriyama when we are better prepared to do so. Yeah, I think we're all just coming to terms with that being a thing that has happened. There's a lot of artists that have influenced me over the years, and Akira Toriyama is one of the biggest. So, yeah. Sorry to bring down the mood. Let me follow that up with a rant.
Oh, geez.
Here we go.
Now, I understand that there are only so many things that Adult Swim can do well, with the resources that they have on hand. But if they theoretically have 98 episodes of Dragon Ball Z Kai on hand at this time, why is it just the first 8 episodes? Why isn't it like Goku versus Vegeta, Goku versus Frieza, Gohan versus Cell? That would be cool. Way more interesting.
Picking but up the all thing some of that, the best moments would have been pretty cool, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that I just like, it's really nice that they're doing this, and so short notice, that is an impressive effort to pull off on short notice, and without disrupting the majority of the lineup, that is appreciated. But Adult Swim is on at 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they run this marathon from 5 to 11 or 5 to midnight? Come on.
I don't think
that's too much to ask.
I would love to know the programming decisioning behind that, because I am baffled by that, to be honest.
As I was ranting about this on Twitter, there was kind of equal parts, yeah, he's right, and shut up, you're an idiot. Quit asking for things. Look, I don't think it's unreasonable, but Duelist had a pretty good theory as to why they might not have been able to do what I'm asking, and that is if advertisers buy time for a certain show, you can't just be like, we're not playing that show at 5 p.m., that 5 p.m. King of the Hill is so important. I'll tell you what. Just, it's Dragon Ball Z. I think they could probably, especially in light of the passing of the author, I think they could probably convince advertisers that they can do this one thing. Like, I think they should be playing Dragon Ball Z daily, but I realize that that is a tougher thing to accomplish, even though, like, ain't nobody gonna sweat if it takes up one of the slots of Checkered Past. They're already doing boring things with that block. Though I do appreciate that they're finally playing Cow and Chicken. It's about dang time. Where's Johnny Bravo? But, look, Saturday, they just play 4 episodes of King of the Hill from 5 to 7. You're telling me you can't replace that with DBZ Kai? And you can't replace the Bob's Burgers from 7 to 9:30 with DBZ Kai?
No, you need to put you need to put Inuyasha back on.
The ratings don't matter.
Especially now more than ever when you've literally hit the actual floor. Like, literally, you're looking at, like, best case, like, a 0.1 if you're lucky.
It just... Look, it's nice that they're doing this, but you're playing these episodes in the dead of the night on a Saturday.
Why?
Nobody's going to notice.
Yeah.
The most on-air advertisement this is probably going to get is maybe at the top of the block, Tom says something. I hope they at least do that. Otherwise, people would be like, where's One Piece? This Ninja Kamui show, this isn't One Piece. And why is it in Japanese? Didn't they just play this at 12? I do not give casual Toonami viewers credit for anything.
Dang.
They can't look at a... They cannot just look at a TV schedule. If there's any disruption to the norm, they don't understand what's going on. But isn't it worth more than a 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. marathon of DBZ Kai? That's all I'm saying. Adult Swim runs from 5 to 6 every freaking day. Surely,
I mean,
they could have done something a little bit more anything.
Hmm.
I mean, I agree. I got nothing else to say to that. I mean, I would just love to know the programming reasoning behind that, to be honest. That's the only thing I'd like to know. It's just like, yeah, what was the decision behind it, aside from the fact that this was like extremely last minute?
Yeah, I don't know. But like, there's some broadcast channel in Mexico that still owns the rights to so many Dragon Ball things. It's doing like a 24/7 marathon.
If only we could do something like that. That would actually be really cool.
And I'm not even asking for that.
No, I wouldn't expect that, but it would be nice.
All I would ask for is like an inspirational or a Tom speech.
That would really be nice.
I'm sure that they're going to do that. And I will be fair. If they did not serendipitously, serendipitously.
You did.
It's like the convenience of the cosmos that they recently reacquired DBZ Kai, because if they had not done that, I would expect nothing more than a nice video.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that you could really expect from them with something that they don't have the TV rights to, because Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
And it's Toei's goodwill in this case, I'm sure. But it's not like they can just be like, okay, well, we don't have the license to this. Toei, can we have it for a night? They might agree to it. They've agreed to similar things, but that definitely would be hard to pull off. And that's why I don't mind that it's just Kai. There are people that are asking for super episodes or like episodes of all the different shows. And then there's these goons out there that are like, ugh, Kai, why not play the original DBZ dub?
Which no, one do you mean? No, no,
the
no.
Ocean Group?
No, no, no. Or we don't play any of those DBZ dubs.
The Funimation.
Unless you somehow got the big green dub, in which case I will watch out of humor for the sake of humor. None of those dubs, please. Thank you, God. No.
Like.
Dragon Ball Z is like the
is
one time
so
I watched.
So much
dubs.
Better.
Oh, Kai's dub is magnificent. I just wish Dragon Ball Z's dub was that good because I'm a dub person, but I'm also a Dragon Ball Z person. And when it comes to Dragon Ball Z, yeah, no, Japanese only. Thanks. But then yeah, Kai happened.
And believe me, I would love for them to drag out some OG Dragon Ball.
Oh, original Dragon Ball would make me so happy. That's actually what I personally did. I got with when I found out, a couple friends and I got together and watched some good old Pilaf arc.
But that's not a reasonable expectation. I feel is a reasonable expectation is making better use of the broadcast rights that they already have. And I was already like, why are you playing this at 2:30 at night? Why pay money to do that? Even if it's not a lot of money, why do that? Just end the block a half hour earlier. It's fine.
I've long been under the assumption that they're setting us up for Daima, which has also since
well
been
if they
as,
weren't before
they are now. Daima's now announced for Japanese TV. Originally it was gonna be streaming only.
Yeah, that's a curious thing on its own. That it was originally just gonna be web.
I believe the change is purely because of what's been going, our loss.
Yes,
I purely believe that's a tribute. I mean, they got Masako Nozawa to send a Kamehameha up to heaven for, during that announcement, for God's sake. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry to be a buzzkill about it, but I'm just like, couldn't you do more?
Couldn't you? I absolutely see where you're coming from on that. It would be really nice for them to do more, and they could. They really could.
I understand. The logistics may be that they really can't mess with things earlier in the night, and that sucks. Like, why aren't they more flexible about that kind of thing?
Just post something on Twitter, for crying out loud, please. Anything.
It's just kind of ridiculous to me. But it is what it is, and it is certainly much better than nothing. And it is impressive that they made this happen in such a short amount of time. So if you wanna watch some DBZ Kai and you don't have
the wee hours of the morning,
you can watch it from 2 to 6 this Saturday night. And there is one thing that I like about it happening after midnight, and that is that it is technically March 17th, which is Toonami's anniversary.
That is a nice fit.
Yeah.
To the power of sheer luck and cosmic powers.
I have to point out that when I made it, I actually made a tweet that really blew up. It was in response to the Mexico channel showing a bunch of Dragon Ball stuff. And I was like, and all we're getting in the U.S. tonight is one episode at 2:30 a.m. Huh. And that blew up, and frankly, far too many goons responded. But Don East responded, is that I feel like that there should be a DBZ marathon next Saturday because it's also Toonami's anniversary.
And he was right.
He was right. Don't ask him the lotto numbers. he says when he notices that they're doing this, don't ask me the lotto numbers.
I am wondering if they are going to do any like anything during the marathon for Toriyama.
Maybe.
I hope they do it beforehand. Not that late. Like, do something at the start. Do anything. Do it early. Don't do it during the marathon, because, like,
right.
You're looking at, like, maybe sub-100,000s at that point. Maybe 100,000s.
What I do want to see happening in the marathon is, if nothing else, play some old promos.
You might not be able to run the shows.
But if you can play the old promos, even some of the old speeches, I know they're not specifically Dragon Ball, but there's a lot of DBZ in them.
Well, and if you go to those really old speeches, you got Sonny Strait doing them. So, hey, you got Krillin helping you out.
Yes, exactly. So I'm hoping that they do a little bit of that. I know that they've remastered some stuff. We saw for the 20th anniversary, they did some remasters. So maybe there's more stuff that they can play, or maybe some of the same stuff. I don't know. That would be nice. I think that would be really, really nice to do. But frankly, if they're going to do a tribute video and make bumpers for this marathon, maybe it's just too much to handle in 1 week, which, fair enough. That's totally understandable. But I think they're going to at least do a tribute video, which will probably air in the first time slot. Maybe at the top of the block, maybe in the first break. We'll see.
If not, I'm going to have some choice words on Twitter.
I'm also totally okay if they save that for another week and, you know, they really take some time with it. That's totally fine, too.
As long as we get a heads up on it, at the very least. Like, if you can't do it now and you have the intent, be like, yeah, we know you're probably expecting more. Give us a few.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll necessarily say anything about that, because it'd be kind of weird if they did, but the communication would be appreciated. And, you know, I have made my statements regarding how meh I think it is that they brought back DBZ when they did, but, well, I can't be too mad about it now, can I?
I can be annoyed and frustrated, but at the very least, I can understand the circumstances regarding this. It's like, I mean, at the very least, it's not up top. And as I said when the original album was there, normally I would probably be a lot more angrier, but in this situation, it's not like it's effing with anything else on the schedule, so fine. It's in the back. I have little to no problem with it all overall.
But if, per se, people tune into this marathon and they see a, you know, interest drums up, totally okay if they want to double up Kai in the back. Maybe slide the Ninja Kamui sub episode ahead of it. I don't know. Run it from 3 to 6 every week. I'm do it.
Hell yeah.
If that's the only time that you can spam it, do it. But more preferably, you know, try to figure out a way to slap it on at like 5 on Saturday. It would be like a nice throwback to Toonami Super Saturdays, which, as you may recall, was pretty much all Dragon Ball, except for the occasional Zoids and when they put .hacksign on there for like 4 weeks. And then discontinued the block.
I've checked with past. You may as well use it for more than just the cartoon. Well, technically, it still would be Cartoon Network stuff, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they don't do Check Your Past on Saturday for some reason, and they just fill it with extra King of the Hill. You could do worse, but come on, you can do it.
You can do it!
But, yeah, that's, that is all the news.
That's quite a bit of news there.
Yeah, interesting stuff happening with Toonami. Though there is a rumor that we could be seeing My Adventures with Superman return pretty soon, sometime in the spring. I am fully excited about that, and I hope it's sooner than later. Also, might be a good thing to replace Ninja Kamui with. Yeah.
I mean, push it maybe back like an hour and a half. It depends on what else they get in the aftermath. I mean, my only other question would be where's Uzumaki?
That is everybody's question.
There is some music floating around on the internet somewhere. So I hear. I keep telling you, it's in the SAG-AFTRA database, so it's happening.
Eventually, at some point.
Pretty sure they're not going to air it until either the last Saturday of September or the first Saturday of October.
5 years. Over 5 years.
Just like Metroid Prime 4.
Could be worse. You could have been waiting for Metroid Dread that long, for even longer.
Oh, geez. Don't even. And now the long wait for the next 2D Metroid.
I don't know if I'll live that long.
Right. But seriously, I'm taking bets of which one's happening first, Uzumaki or Metroid Prime 4. They could both come out in the fall, but seeing as it sounds like the Switch 2 is probably not coming out until early next year, Uzumaki's probably going to beat it. Probably. Knock on wood.
Hopefully.
We can hope.
We can hope. And where's Scavengers? I feel like that's just going to pop up out of nowhere one of these days. At least I hope so. Because it's really good. And I want Toonami to show it. Even though it's currently available on Max, and people should go watch it there.
I need to finish that. I saw episode 1, never ended up catching up with the rest of it.
Oh, it's really good. It is very, very good. It is the stuff I want to see from animation, especially in America. It is, so refreshing. So refreshing. Well, I just wore myself out. But we've covered everything we were gonna. So, yeah. Marathon happening on Saturday. Watch it if you want. And I am really curious how the 130 Digicomedy might do, because as I always said, what's the point of showing this at 3 a.m.? Nobody's going to watch it. But at 1:30, maybe. I almost wonder if it will do well enough that they would consider moving it up. But they probably don't want to disrupt Shippuden when it's so close to actually ending. But I wouldn't hate if it was at 1:30 and then they put all the long shonen after that. I know I don't generally like a quote-unquote rerun in the middle of the block, but it's kind of a different thing, and I have been enjoying watching both versions, so that's my piece on that. I don't really expect them to shake up the lineup, but you never know. Things have been popping up out of the blue lately. And it's been a good year so far.
Absolutely.
I've been enjoying Toonami a lot, and I'm very glad that I can finally stay up to watch more of it now, because I was having to tap out like after Licorice lately because of work, but now I don't work on Sundays.
Nice.
Yay! We're also recording this podcast much, much later than I could have done before. I totally flip-flop it on Paul. I was like, now I have to be even later than usual.
Excellent.
Well, the lateness is not a problem for me, but that I'm the resident night owl.
I mean, yeah. I can't stay up. It's more like I got work in the morning. So it's like I'd like to try and get 8 hours of sleep, but half the time it's like, am I going to fall asleep in the first place?
The constant battle.
Yeah, that's a mood.
Annoyingly, I first woke up around 5 a.m. this morning. I was like, nope, going back to bed.
Do not blame you.
Looks at watch, like, screw this, snore.
Then I woke up a bit later and realized I hadn't set an alarm and went, uh-oh. But I was okay. I made it to work on time, no problem. But don't like to cut it that close. Got to remember to set that alarm. Very important. Very important. And I know some of you listeners are probably adjusting to losing an hour recently, so you feel me.
I think we all feel you on that one, absolutely.
Stupid daylight savings time bullshit.
It's non-consensual, I tell you.
I'm jealous of my parents in Arizona because they don't have to do it.
I lived in Arizona for college. My only issue with that is trying to watch things on television becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, because the rest of the country will adjust around you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, weird. You went until I think it was like, I think it was spring forward. One of them, I was stuck watching it on the specific center time. It's like, I don't want to stay up until like 2 to 3 in the morning to watch this stuff live. Hated that.
That's fair. Well, about time we be getting on out of here. So you can email us at podcast@ToonamiFaithful.com. You can follow us on facebook.com/ToonamiFaithfulPodcast and on Twitter @ToonamiPodcast. You can listen to the podcast on just about everything, including Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Deezer, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Overcast, Podbay, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Radio.com, Spotify, and the TuneIn app. You can find every episode of the podcast to stream online at soundcloud.com/ToonamiFaithfulPodcast and get the latest news by following @ToonamiNews on Twitter and read the news, views, and reviews on ToonamiFaithful.com. Colt, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AmbientVirus. I ramble, rant. Post generated art because I like the technology. Beyond that, twitch.tv/lifevirus. I am slowly getting to the end of the ultra hard runs of the American McGee Alice series. I'm close to being done with Madness Returns, and then sadly there's nothing else after that, so I gotta figure out what else I'm gonna wind up playing. May look into Helldivers, but not entirely sure. Otherwise I might go back and play Earthbound on the Switch because that's finally on there. And not much beyond that, so yeah, that's me.
And Laser, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me over on Twitter at LaserKidPrime. You can find me on Blue Sky at LaserKid whenever I actually go over there. And you can find my Toonami Focus editorials right here on Toonami Faithful.
All right. And Paul, where can they find you?
Paul.
Is he Paul?
I didn't unmute my mic. Sorry.
I thought that was the case.
I had a wonder of that too.
Let's try that again.
Paul, where? And Paul, where can they find you?
In my bed sleeping.
An excellent choice.
Makes sense.
It's an excellent choice. I will be there shortly. Anyways, it's a
better place to be than on social media, that's for sure.
Oh, Lord. Let's not even get started on that.
So but you can be on social media in bed.
Ooh, why not both?
That is true.
Both is good. Both is not good. Really don't sit in your bed and scroll social media while you're trying to fall asleep. That's a terrible way to fall asleep.
I've never tried to do that. I don't know what you're talking about. It works great.
And don't look at first. Don't look at it first thing in the morning either.
So that's you can find me on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck you want to call it, at Paul Pasquillo. You can email me. Paul...
We don't do this here.
The bird is the word.
Whatever. And then you can email me, paulpasquillo@toonamifaithful.com. And you can also hear me on another podcast called Thoughts on Wrestling, which I'll be doing another one of those tomorrow night and killing myself this week, apparently, with podcasts. So I love my life. Anyways.
Killing me softly with podcasts. Killing me softly with podcasts. Killing me softly with podcasts. Killing me softly with podcasts.
You're losing it. Anyways, Sketch, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sketch1984, and I'm also on Blue Sky Sketch1984. And before we get out of here, actually, since we haven't had him on in the entire time that we've been talking about this show, Colt, how are you liking Licorice Recoil?
Oh, love it. Chisato is a bubbly, just wonderful little bubbly girl, and I love the way the show's been going. Like, yes. I was generally curious about that one, and I love it, because it's just like, how'd I say it on Twitter? It's like Maiden Abyss, it's just cute with guns. But Maiden Abyss was cute, but then it punches you in the dick at the best possible time frame to make you feel more miserable.
Oh my god, that is the best description of Maiden Abyss I've ever heard.
Like, the moment after that season one incident, I'm just like, this is like the cutest dick punch you could ever see in a show. And Licorice Recoil is literally just cute with guns. And honestly, I see Zom 100, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm actually fine with this. They've been doing some good things. I still have my reservations about what happened with the Demon Slayer, but unless I actually am aware of a Jason interview or QA on Twitter that I can ask someone to ask a question because he blocked me, but whatever. Either way, yeah, no, Licorice Recoil is an amazing show.
Yes, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And, oof, can't wait to talk about it again. We'll probably do that in maybe a couple of weeks. Gotta you know, spread these things out so we don't get too overwhelmed by various things. I know we've kind of fallen into a questionable habit of only covering like 3 or 4 episodes instead of like half a season, but I kind of like it that way because when we cover half a season, much less like all of 11 to 12 or 13 episodes,
oh, gosh.
Like, it's too much. Too much to do at once.
That's a good way to get a 2.5 hour One Piece conversation.
Oh, the next time we cover One Piece, we'll be covering like 30 episodes.
Oh, and it's you and me, so yeah.
I gave up after Dressrosa. I cannot take it anymore with that show.
You gave up after Dressrosa? We're still in Dressrosa.
Okay. I gave up at the start of Dressrosa because the moment it went to, oh, guess what? We're splitting the party. I'm like, nope, I'm done. I sat through Fishman Island. I sat through Punk Hazard. I'm done.
If you had to,
so
Punk
you're not
Hazard
actually watching it anymore?
No, I'm not.
If you had to sit through Punk Hazard, you probably made the right choice because Punk Hazard is one of the best arcs shows ever done.
I don't know about that, but it's pretty good.
I put it like 2 or 3, but
I'm not going to extend it, but I had my problems with both it and Fishman Island.
I mean, everybody has problems with Fishman Island.
I mean, that's fair.
I could legitimately go on a hard rant right now, but we've already said our pieces, so I'm not going to hyperextend this any more than we need to.
You've said your one piece.
The one piece. Ooh. It's real.
Honestly, Colt, I'm surprised it took this long. I thought you were going to bail way sooner. Good, admirable effort.
Fishman Island was okay. Horty Jones was meaningless. I legit question the point of Punk Hazard. I'm not going further on that unless you're going to have me on like an actual One Piece talk.
Well, I mean, we already talked about Punk Hazard, so that would be kind of pointlessly retroactive, but maybe. We'll think about it. But that's not happening now. That's for darn sure. But I'm glad you're enjoying Licorice. And I think you'll really like Zom 100, and I think those two shows will pair very nicely and be good, lighter, but still, you know, intense at points, fair, after Ninja Kamui, which is pretty dang intense, like, all the time. So it's good. It's gonna be a good first 90 minutes of Toonami, I feel. It's gonna be good.
Absolutely.
Very solid. Very solid selection. And a fair amount of variety too. But yeah, I just wanted to check in on you on that because I was curious. But if you have any commentary on any of the shows on Toonami, you could use the hashtag Toonami Talkback or email us. We really want your feedback and we want your commentary. We want your theories. Come on.
Give them to us.
Feed us your opinions so that we can talk about them and then, like, claim them as our own.
Exactly.
Give us your content. it's a collaborative effort.
Now I want to say, to make a reference to freaking Whole Cake, content or leave. I'm in Whole Cake. That's where I'm personally at.
That arc is literally take or death.
Yeah. It's been a slow start for me, but I'm getting there.
Some people consider it one of the best arcs.
It might get there for me. It's just, oh god, this early part of it is just me banging my head against the wall.
Different strokes, different folks. But we can't talk about One Piece.
No.
We gotta get out of here.
Just a mere mention of it has extended this podcast.
It's true. But we hope you enjoyed this conversation, this news update, and talking about Ninja Kamui and all the various tangents. But thank you for your listenership. Please be sure to share the podcast with anybody you think would be interested in listening to it. And thanks for listening. And until next time, we're punching out.
If I don't have to go to work, then even a zombie apocalypse is like having a Dragon Ball Z Toonami marathon every day!